everybody. Happy Friday. Oh, my goodness. Hope you've had a great week. I've got a lot to talk to you about. I know a lot of people are like super, super tired and I can feel that. The exhaustion by the spirit. And actually, I felt a little bit of it this week, but I had a great week. If you notice the new book on the screen, that's my new book with Margaret Rowe. And I got to spend a little bit of time with Margaret. She's one of our sponsors for the show. And she came into town and we had a great time because we've collaborated on this book together, Just a Conversation Away, which is coming out here in a couple months, actually. And it talks about the deep hurts of life that we go through and how to move through the deep hurts with Christ and about our conversations with God and our conversations with God in heaven and things like that, moving in and out of the courts of heaven. Hey, Cynthia, good afternoon. But we had a great time visiting. And if you don't know anything about Margaret, this is her new book, actually. She just actually, this came out, I want to say a few months back, almost about 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago. So she's got two books out. She'll have two books out this year, but it's called Margaret Rowe, Through the Lens. You need to go check her out at margaretrowe.com if you want to see some beautiful jewelry. She has exquisite pieces of jewelry. This is a ring that she's actually designed herself, and she gave to me as just a sweet thank you gift, but I love her stuff. She does a lot of retro stuff, a lot of vintage jewelry, and you need to go check her out. She's got some really, really cool stuff. So thank you so much. Had a great time, Margaret, and I want to thank you for your sweet gift, and I just hope you guys go check her out because she's just really just a super, super special person, anointed by God. She was married to my cousin. Actually, my cousin was a movie producer in Hollywood, dynamic Christian. Both of them are dynamic Christians, and they really don't budge off the word of God. It's neat to see people like that. It's really, really neat to see people like that and highly successful people, because it goes to show you that God does bless you for your faithfulness when we're faithful to Him. And so thanks again, Margaret. This is our new book that's coming out. It's called Just a Conversation Away. If you want to go check it out, it'll be for sale on Amazon.com. We're making it available through BookBaby for you. But again, that's going to be coming out here in about 2 months, and it deals with deep hurts. So if you've got some deep hurts you need healing from, hopefully this will be a book that'll help you with that. And so we're going to shut that off right now and get on with the conversation. But I've had a great week. I hope you have too. A lot of cool stuff going on. I was taking Peggy around the city and taking her in throughout Austin and whatnot. And it's been a busy, action-packed week for me. And so, but a fun week. It's been a really, really fun week to get back into the city of Austin and see how much Austin has grown. And then took her to San Antonio and saw the Alamo and different things like that. If you've never come to Texas, it's a fun place to visit. It's a lot of fun to be here and a lot of neat things to see. We've got the beach, we've got the hill country, anything you'd ask for. So come and check us out. It's a lot of fun. But giving Peggy a plug with that. And also, if you didn't know this, Elon Musk put the Tesla plant here. And we were driving down the toll road. By the way, Texas has the fastest toll road in the nation, 85 miles an hour on that toll road. So we were flying down this toll road and we see the Elon Musk Tesla plant. And it's absolutely, it looks big from the side, but it doesn't anywhere near compare to the size of it once you step in to or drive alongside of it. Like you come up along the side of it and it's just like 5 football fields long. It's unbelievably huge, but that was fun. That was fun. And so have to get back to business right now, back about to my father's business and jumping full throttle into C2. Hopefully you're doing very, very well right now as we're stepping into the throes of C2. It's going to get a little hotter. Hey, Wendy, good afternoon. Can somebody, I don't know why that message was retracted. That's crazy. Can y'all undo that for her? I'll do that. That's crazy. I didn't do that to you, Wendy. I don't know what the heck happened with that. But anyway, long story short, let's stay on track. Welcome to the show if you're just joining us today. And a lot of things happening right now. A lot of things happening. First of all, we've talked to you a little bit about what C2 entails. And but before I jump into that, I want to discuss how the enemy's been coming at you with regard to time. you feel like your time has been stolen from you a little bit in the last month, maybe 3 weeks to a month? And hey, Karen, good to see you this afternoon. So if the enemy's been stealing time from you, that's because God's trying to align you with his timing. Okay, so that's the first and foremost thing. The other thing is if you are aligned, the enemy's trying to distract you and get you misaligned in this season. So if you found yourself getting distracted, getting overly busy, feeling like you don't have enough time in your day, that's a witchcraft tactic. So you need to be binding those things and breaking them off. And so that's one way that they've been coming at you, also by having the coup begin to do things in their attempt to beat God's timing, which will never happen. Because God's word says that everything good or evil alike is made beautiful in its own time. Now, I can't imagine evil being beautiful, but God gives us beauty for ashes and he works all things for the good of those who are in Christ. Would you not agree? So given that, if we're aligned with him, we have nothing to fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and of a right mind. So he's trying to get us aligned with his heart, aligned with his mind. And so if it's not time for a thing to happen, like the Antichrist spirit coming into the atmosphere, it's not going to happen. And although the prophets are saying one thing and you're seeing another, maybe, perhaps, maybe you're misaligned. Maybe you're misaligned and God's trying to say, hey, I want you to come over out from underneath the tree of good and evil and out from underneath the enemy's mind, the enemy's timing, and come underneath the tree of life. Hello, who is the tree of life? Jesus is that tree. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And so he's trying to bring us out from underneath the law of sin and death and back underneath the law of life through Christ Jesus, the law of grace, which gives us life. It brings new life. And so that's where we're moving into. So if you found your schedule being off or not having enough time in your day to get things done, this is witchcraft. These are witchcraft spells being released through blanketing spells to absorb our time as intercessors or front runners to where we can't stay on track. So you need to break these things off. Align yourself with God's time, Psalms 133:1, and then ask for protection over your times in him. With Psalms 31:15, your times are in God's hands, as well as with Psalms 91. Okay, so also know, God knows your exhaustion. Okay, he knows your exhaustion. He knows you're tired of this place. You're tired of this test. But the great thing about being a believer is that God also made you. And God knows how much you can handle. He built you in your mother's womb. So he built you for such a time as this to help us to step up into position where many are called, but few are chosen. Now we understand that just like Jesus was one of the first new moves of God in the New Testament, and they didn't receive him then. So if we've got a new move going on now, we're going to get into that conversation here in a minute, then we know they're not going to receive us now. They're not going to receive the new move or vessels housing that new move now. So if you don't feel like you fit in anywhere, not in your churches, not in your families, not at work, nowhere, that could be you're on a different spiritual page than most people and God's got you housing a new move. So some have the gift of joy, others faith. Very, very few has the gift of love. And if you're housing love, that means God's giving you his spirit from birth. That's another conversation for another day. But God wasn't going to send you into this battle alone, front runner. And he's lifted you up for such a time as this. And so this season now, you stepped into, because he made you to fight this battle, particular one that we're in. You have to also know that as a believer, Jesus is your door to new strength. He's your new door. You go from faith to faith and glory to glory, so that with each move of Christ, he increases himself within your story. Okay, so his strength only has to be requested and it's given so that we can continue to move forward into new times, dimension, realms, frequencies, seasons, and cycles of the spirit. So we've now entered into C2 and we're becoming immersed into God's fire with Exodus 3:2. I told you that C2 consists of holy fire versus strange fire at the same time. Why is that? I've always I know there's more to that conversation and he's probably going to show me at some point, but I know that through April 30th through September 15th, it's the hottest time of the year. And as we step into April 30th, and now we're in May, it's May, what, 13th now, and the fire seems to be getting hotter. The pressure seems to be getting hotter. The lack of strength seems to be getting stronger, but it doesn't have to be so for you. Matter of fact, all you have to do is ask him. Lord, you said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, take me to my new door. Help me to step up into a new level through you. And Jesus makes a way where there is no way. It doesn't matter where you're at in the process of C2 or any part of the season. So we need to ask him. And all he has to do is, while he's refining us in C2 with his holy fire, we're learning to step in and fight effectively against witchcraft or its strange fire. What is strange fire? Strange fire, and if you haven't noticed, I don't know about you, but I've surely noticed this. It consists of many things. It's not just the occult. Strange fire can be witchcraft prayers, prayers prayed amiss, scripture spoken in malice, from Balaam's prophets, unholy speaking spirits. Hello, God's a spirit, the devil's a spirit, and you're a spirit. Would you not agree? A body without a spirit is dead. Would you not agree? That even means the body of Christ or churches. A body without a spirit is dead. So there are unholy speaking spirits. You have demons and bloodlines that choose to try to select a host or a vessel that will allow that unholy speaking spirit to speak through it, to pray through it, to decree through it. So it can decree cursings onto God's people. It can decree unholy prayers on God's people, or it can use blatant witchcraft, which is through spells, a layered, structured, written or spoken spells, frontwards or backwards. They're to set you back, to delay you out of time. So you need to be binding those things. If you've got a pen, please write that down. And it creates hindrances from hindering you from moving through the heart of God. Now, remember, I told you, C1, chamber one, is the first chamber of God's heart. You have four chambers to your heart, as does God. You have an outer court and an inner court, which is your outer court houses 12 gates. Those are the 12 gates of your life. Or AKA, they represent as well the 12 portions of God's personality through the 12 tribes of Israel. Those all depict his heart, his personality. There are three tribes within every chamber. Okay, as you move from chamber one, chamber two. Chamber two being the longest, it's about 5 months long. So it encompasses two chambers, it overlaps. And so you have to really work your way through. There are positives and negatives to the tribes. Some tribes fared better in the testing process, where others did not. Pardon me. So I'm gonna really encourage you guys, if you want to read a good book about that, grab a book about the 12 tribes of Israel, learn about their pros and their cons, and that'll help you to navigate as a front runner, as an intercessor, to where you don't get stuck during the seasons as we move through God's heart yearly. But C1 is the deliverance portion of his heart. With the washing of the water of the word from January 1 through April 30th, C2 is chamber 2. It's the fiery portion of God's heart, where his fire, refiner's fire, alongside of the enemy's fire, strange fire, come at us to refine our minds, our dreams, our prayer assignments, our ministries, things that we're praying for that we think God has given us into love's way, or into alignment at a higher level with Christ, to where we find out what we've stepped into, if it's of God or not. It either gets burned up like chaff, or it's refined and it moves into a higher level, which overlaps with C3. We call it chamber three, C3. Pardon me, which is the earth portion. It represents your very vessel, how Jesus came down in the form of a man, died on a cross, rose from the dead in 3 days, and we knew that Jesus Christ was God. So it's a type of resurrection, if you will, into the higher dimensions of God's heart. As you move through the fire of C2 into C3, you find your vessel becoming more refined. Your mind is refined into the mind of Christ, while your heart is refined into the heart of God. And I'm going to get into that here in a second. And then finally in C4, which is from September through December, C3 is from July 1 through September 15th. That's C3. C4 is the place where we've either passed the test from the prior three chambers and we're gearing up to take our final exam within the months of October, November, as we start to engage the fight between the serpent and the eagle. What does that stand for us? It stands for, it's through the month of Scorpio, or the tribe of, I think, Manasseh, where Scorpio's on the zodiac clock. That's the enemy's clock, the Maseroth, if God's clock. So those are the 12 tribes of Israel, is God's clock. So as we're trying to become aligned, we have to go through testings, right? We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. And if you succeed in passing the test and you're obeying the Lord, whether you understand him or not, whether you agree with him or not, because God's ways aren't our ways, we start learning to align if we want blessing. We start learning to align if we want firepower. So as we pass these lower level testings, because there's a lower quadrant of God's heart, and then there's the upper dimensions and the upper quadrants of God's heart. The lower dimensions, and I'll get to this in a second about the final test, the lower dimensions are the outside gates of Thanksgiving from January 1 through July 1. Thanksgiving, submission, obedience, humility, forgiveness, righteousness, and trust. That's going to be Thanksgiving in January, submission in February, March is obedience, April is humility, May is forgiveness, it's a forgiveness month, June is a righteousness month, and then learning to trust God at higher levels moves you into July. That's the lower dimensions of the seven inner gates. The higher gates on the other side of that, the C3, C4, are where you move into the higher dimensions of God's Spirit through the Spirit of the Lord, or Ruach Yahweh, the Spirit of wisdom. And this is moving through July, August, September, October, November, December. You can follow along. The Spirit of wisdom is the next month. Understanding is the next month. Counsel is the next month. Spirit of might, and then the next month is knowledge. And then overlapping with January, December, January, with the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is Ruach Yirat Yahweh. And so those are the parts of God's Spirit as you move out of the outer courts into his inner courts that you should be having built up within you. If not, then you've chosen to stay stuck and you're out of alignment. Okay, so let me go back to your final exam in October, November, between the eagle and the serpent. And if you haven't listened to my friend Chris Carter, go check out Chris Carter, Discover the Heavens. He's phenomenal. He interacts with angels and he is a proficient in dealing with the testing of the serpent, the fight between the serpent and the eagle. But every child of God is going to always be tested. And at every level in God's heart, you will always find yourself being tested by the prior year's tools that have gotten instilled, hopefully, within you. At the end of that year, October, November, you enter into your final, if you will, where you take a test of everything you've learned from the prior year, all the tools that you've learned prior to that point, and you engage and enter into a battle between the serpent and the ego, which means, are you going to digress and stay stuck, or are you going to progress and move higher into the heart of God for that next level of faith? And so that's how all that works. And I think that, you know, God has a phenomenal plan for us. I think I'm missing part of my notes here. Let me go pull it up here real quick. Hang on. Let me see here real quick. Boy, isn't that just like the devil too? But, you know, he's a phenomenal plan for us. And if we follow him and do what he tells us to do, then we enter on out of the old and into the new. And so that's what, I am at the right place. Praise God. Okay. I thought I messed up. Okay. I just didn't recognize where I was at in my notes. So I wanted to make sure I had the right thing. Okay, so let's continue on. So where are we at right now? I've told you how witchcraft is hitting you. So now I'm going to tell you what's going on in the body with where we're at prophetically right now. The title for today's message actually is called The title is called It's Getting Deep, The Sauls versus the Jonathans. Okay? The Sauls versus the Spirit of Jonathan. Which one are you in? And this is going to help you figure it out. And I pray to God that you're in the Spirit of Jonathan. But it's based on the scripture of 1 Samuel 14, 1 through 52, where God is showing who the true leaders are right now. Okay, he said there's a sifting going on. There's a sifting going on. We've heard the prophets prophesy. We've heard people say, oh, I'm of God. I'm of God. And yet there's a sifting going on. And you know, and it's one thing. Let me say this out of love. Because I know I'm a double truth-sided sword. But I do want to say this. Because I know walking our walks isn't easy. And sometimes we can think we're okay. And we're so not okay in God's eyes. We're so not. Because we're with ourselves 24/7. And so that goes back to man's ways not being God's ways. And we can think, I go to church every Sunday. Some of you may say that. I go to church every Sunday. I see God, but you're operating in a different spirit outside of love, and you may not even know it. And so only the heart knows its own bitterness. Do you know that? Maybe you've gone through a lot of testings, and maybe you haven't been so willing in times past to get free from yourself, to get free from the things that so easily beset you. But this is a season right now, because we're in the fiery portion of God's heart. You've had an opportunity from January 1 through April 30th to get free willingly. But the fire is what forces those things to the surface to burn off like chaff. But it's also another opportunity for us to say, you know what, God? If there's any hurtful way in me, please get me free. I want to be more like you. And that's an opportunity for you to come out of the old and into the new, to step into dreams that you never thought would be a possibility for you. But this is an opportunity lest you stay stuck on this level in chamber two. And it's in chamber two that people usually get tripped up. It's in chamber two, C2, we always tell them. So what happened in this time where God's showing the true leaders? This happened in Saul and Jonathan's day. It's happening today because there's always a sifting that's going on. And God will always try to, he filters out or sifts out people who aren't ready for the higher dimensions of his spirit, because new level, new devil. You've heard of that cliche. I'll say it like this. There's a narrowing happening in our choosing to come higher in the love of God, which means there are new laws that are activated on that level. There are new standards that we have to maintain in order to operate in God's spirit. So we have to do things his way. We don't get to choose our own way. This isn't Burger King. We don't get to ask for it. We don't want it. We don't get it yesterday. We get to do it God's way, or it's hit the highway. And so that's what we're facing as we come up through these new levels. And so 1 Samuel 14, 1 through 52 states this. It says, in Israel's day, God displayed the differences between Saul and Jonathan. And he depicted Saul as one who operated in the spirit of religion, or who had lost his power. At this point in the ballgame, he was losing power and the ability to lead because he always did what was right in his own eyes. Do you struggle with that? Do you think you make excuses? I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying what he's saying. He's trying to get the body to do a hard right, because there are the four people groups. We've known about that through, I think, Rabbi Kurt Landry. If you know anything about him, go check him out. We talked about four people groups. Only one was going to be entering in. And a lot of people were going to get hung up because of the spirit of religion. And so this is directed towards those people who are hung up in the spirit of religion. But the good news to the conversation is this. The good news is that there are a lot of people in group three of the four people groups that are like reevaluating things right now. They're like, I don't have as much firepower. Something's wrong with my prayers. The devil's coming at me fiercely right now. What the heck is going on, God? That's where they're at. They're doing the thing. So if that's you, this is your opportunity to move on out of the old and into the new. So listen up. So Saul was stuck in the spirit of religion. He was losing power because he was always doing what was right in his own eyes. But as that was true in Israel's day, the same was true with Jonathan. Was actually becoming Israel's true leader because Jonathan recognized the anointing on his friend David. He was seeing that there was a better way, and David was exemplifying that better way. And he was like, he was looking at his dad, and this is my version of that. He was looking at his dad and looking at David and thinking, my dad's a rageaholic, and he's always attacking this innocent guy, and this innocent guy seems to never retaliate. He's just letting God fight his battles. And David, if you know anything about David, he never touched the anointing. He never touched the anointing on those other vessels. He may have thought about it. He may have talked about it amongst his friends. I don't know. But he never touched it. He never acted out or retaliated in his own defense. And so, and if you know anything about David too, David had all hell coming at him through Saul. Or those operating in the spirit of religion, like some of you operating the new move now, have going on around you. Because people don't understand this new move that God is moving us into. And when people don't understand something, they get afraid. They get afraid, and they get afraid of being wrong. They get afraid of missing it. Oh, what if this isn't of God? You know, what if I step in and it's all messed up? And they say to follow the prophets, and you know, even what the prophets are saying now doesn't seem to be coming to pass. So God, who's right? And God's like, I didn't call you to follow man. I called you to follow me. Listen to me, because man's ways aren't my ways. Let's go further. The problem with Saul is that he tripped people up because of his bad examples. And he held people back who were just as blind or insecure as he was, operating outside of the spirit of truth. He always did what was right in his own eyes, and he was quick to dismiss his own disobedience until God called him out for it. Where Jonathan saw Christ in David's honor of God and honor of his own father, who he knew wasn't doing right. And in David's refusal to strike the anointing on Saul, David obeyed the Lord and stayed aligned with love, aligned with honor, aligned with God's heart. Whereas Saul was always in trouble and blinded to the trouble that he had stepped into until God pulled the kingship out from underneath him. Where are you? This is a serious moment. It's a sifting moment. Where are you, leaders? Where are you? And the Lord's saying, for those of you who aren't sure, if you're afraid of being wrong, do it afraid. Let's just do what you know to do, and I'll meet you more than halfway. Do your best, God says, and I'll do the rest. That sounds so generic, but it's so true, because it's all about the heart. God says, just ask me. Lord, I don't know if this is of you. I don't know what I should be doing, but I'm willing to step out and trust you in this place. Just guide my footsteps. Psalms 37:23. You always want to make sure you're in the right place. You want to know how to make sure you're in the right place? Always claim over your prayers, over your footsteps, Psalms 37:23. If you're unsure, God, order my footsteps. Order my footsteps forward where I should be. Let me be at the right place at the right time at all times. Okay? So this was that. So Saul, in his spirit of religion, he was sitting in his own fame and confidence of self, where Jonathan was being used by God to attack a growing enemy, witchcraft in our day. But so Jonathan stayed engaged in the fight through God's spirit, and he was able to rule and reign through Christ, not through man, not like man, like his father, as or some representative of in this day and time. And even some spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers in this day and time. But like today, these Jonathans now in this day and time over America are standing for Christ, because like Jonathan in Israel's day, they trusted God. They trusted God. So Jonathan wasn't depending upon numbers, where Saul had watched things happen, where Jonathan was making things happen through Christ. Hallelujah. So Jonathan was actually depending upon the spirit of the living God. He was depending upon the spirit of the living God, where Saul was trying to make people do what he thought that they should do by decreeing an evil oath over them. He was depending upon his words, not God's, where Jonathan was used by God to strengthen his army and challenge it to step into new levels and new dimensions of his spirit so they could experience new victories. This is getting interesting, huh? So let's go further. So we are in those times now as a country where we're seeing that this is not a natural battle. Would you not agree? This isn't a natural battle, but a spiritual one. And those having the hardest time with it are those stuck in the past, in their flesh, or in denial and not wanting to engage. Would you not agree? That's what I'm seeing. It's almost like God is saying, when are you going to wake up? When are you going to get out of yourself and get out of your own need for, let's just be blunt, get out of your own need for self-recognition. It's all about self, all the things dealing with self, because love is others-oriented. When are you going to get into me, says the Lord? When are you going to, because when you're in love with somebody, you're into that person. Would you not agree? But if I abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask what you will and I'll do it, says the Lord. Isn't it crazy? So my perception of this is, if I'm in a love relationship with somebody, if I'm falling in love with somebody, hopefully we are with Christ, then you're into him. You're into him. You're into knowing everything you can about him, and he's into you. He's into you. And it would be the same if you had a male-female relationship. It's the same cat, different color. It's just on earth as it is in heaven, instead of earth to earth relating. And it actually will depict your relationships in the earth, because the way that you relate with the Father vertically is the way you're going to relate with man horizontally. If you're dysfunctional with God, you'll be dysfunctional with man. So God's trying to get you aligned with him. And so these Jonathans, those engaging the fight, are being used by God alongside of the Davids, who are being used to slam witchcraft to its knees, while the Sauls are trying to take credit. Did you just hear that? I about fell out when he said this today. He said the Sauls are trying to take credit. Those operating in a spirit of religion are being great on words, but weak on deeds. But isn't that like people who operate in the spirit of religion? They sit back in their false sense of security, letting others do the work while they take credit for things they never partook in because they never believed. And the Lord showed me, I've seen this for months now, actually for over a year, for a long time, for about a year and a half, that even though while the prophets, the true prophets, not the Balaams, but the true prophets were prophesying what was fixing to happen, like, and I'm not going to mention their names, hopefully you're listening to them, but while they're stepping and releasing the word of God, the witches stepped in and they started releasing spells to hold back those words. Matter of fact, you need to break those things off of your words, by the way, because they were trying to hinder your words and your decrees from going forward. Break them off. And how did you tell us to do? If something's not of God, Lamentations 3, 37 to 38, it has to fall to the ground. That'll release your words into the atmosphere. So, because that it's an illegal action. They're doing it through the courts of heaven. It's illegal. So, these people, the Lord showed me, these prophets are releasing the true word of God if they're true prophets. And then there are the religious or the Balaam's prophets or people that are going to try to take credit for what God's true vessels are saying because they're emulating who they think God is. They're trying to give an false impression of who they think love is when they no more house the spirit of the living God than the man in the moon because of their own bitterness of heart, their own spirits of religion that they can't seem to get beyond. Because they won't submit to a power greater than themselves. So that's what we're going to see when all this thing comes to a close and we see God show up on the spot. Watch all the Balaams show up. Oh, look what I did, God. Look what I did. It's all about I. Watch. Watch. Whereas the true prophets will give all honor and glory to God. They'll be like, look what God did. Look what God did. Because true love is always others oriented. So, this is the difference between the Sauls that we're now dealing with, the people stuck in the spirits of religion versus the Davids and the Jonathans. And so when a vessel gets free from self, the freedom allows the vessel to come up higher into more fighting power through love and God's spirit, which enables that vessel to win wars. God wants you to win, man. So it's not about might, not the vessel's might, nor by power, but by God's spirit that wins through them. This is why God wanted you to come into the new move. And if you understand how God moves, his ways on our ways. So no God, no love. God is love. No power. No power. You don't have any faith. If you don't have any faith, your prayers aren't going to get answered. You're not going to be moving anything out of the way. So you're going to get desperate and you're going to try to manipulate. A lot of people get into manipulation. They get into witchcraft prayers, praying prayers amiss. They get into their flesh and they start being vindictive and trying to maliciously make God do things or use the word for unholy purposes. Do you realize you can get judged for that? I've said that in past revs. You can go back and listen to that. So Jonathan knew that in order to fight the new war, he was going to have to leave his father's camp of religion in order to step into God's spirit to win. And in this particular situation, Jonathan knew that in order to win, he was going to have the Lord help him spy on his enemy's camp. How many of you have ever found yourself being taken into the enemy's war room these days? Witchcraft war rooms. A lot of times. A lot of times. find out how your enemy's doing what he's doing, and then you're countering it in the courts of heaven and shutting him down, slamming them to their knees through the spirit of the living God within you. So Jonathan went, he took his armor bearer with him, he went to spy on the enemy, which were the Philistines in his day. And sometimes God will take you into the enemy's camp to find out how they're doing what they're doing in order to fight them. Lord's saying, quit being afraid. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and of a sound mind, which is exactly what's happening this season, because those that can't get past their fears are the ones that are getting stuck. And the enemy's taking them over. They're afraid of engaging the enemy. It's kind of like that old mindset, don't rock the boat. You know, what if I engage this and it's like a hornet's nest? But what if God is with you and God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? What about that? You've been lifted up. If you've been put into this time frame and you're called by God, many are called, few are chosen. But what if you don't stand up, then who will? Because you've got to learn. So Jonathan knew that God would protect him. So he wasn't afraid. And he understood the need for pureness of heart. That was another plus on his side. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He knew the need to get cleaned up. I'll go so far as to say that. He knew the power behind getting cleaned up as you move through C1, C2, C3, C4. He understood the process. Lord said, trust the process. We tell our people in Ezekiel's will all the time, trust the process. Trust the process. Quit getting locked into your emotions. Quit getting locked into your vain imaginations. Trust the process. C2 is the most stressful part of the process because of the strange fire being allowed to come at your thinking. If you've never read Joyce Meyer's book, A Battle of the Mind, you need to go check it out. Because the part of attaining the mind of Christ in this part of the process, where you're learning to not only attain God's heart, but you're learning to think like he thinks. Because love expects the best of people. It expects the best of a holy God. And it learns the process that sometimes as an intercessor, sometimes as a front runner, I'm not always going to see in the natural what I'm seeing in the spirit. But I can trust the things that God is showing me in the spirit if I've tested the spirit. 1 John 4:3, spirit that gave me that thought, that's given me this vision. Do you believe Jesus Christ came in the form of a man, died on a cross, rose from the dead in 3 days, and that Jesus Christ is God? If it's the Holy Spirit, he will say yes. Immediately, he's adrenaline. If it's you get a pause or no answer, you can pretty much guess it's the devil. So you need to bind that spirit, because every angel that comes to you to give you information is not always of God. That's why we have these crazy Balaam's prophets running around. Out of their mind crazy. And they're messed up. They're dysfunctional. And they present this image to you in front of this camera. And it's not who they are behind the scenes. And they definitely don't like people like me, because we hammer them down with truth. We'll call them out in a New York minute. It's because God sees who they really are. He sees the crap going on behind the scenes, just like he sees the mess with the Sauls. He sees the mess with the Jezebel. And the Bible says not to tolerate the spirit of Jezebel. Balaam's usually operating Jezebel. And they're here to steal your identity. You're called to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're called to be sons and daughters of a king, to rule and reign with him, sons and daughters of Issachar. That spirit, Jezebel, is the front runner for the Antichrist, where Elijah is the front runner for Jesus Christ. So you're trying to attain God's identity, and it's here to try to steal it from you, so you never attain anything. You don't hit your promised land blessings. You never hit any power in the Lord. It's here to make you just as bitter as that spirit, or that heart's spirit is. The soul knows its own bitterness. The heart knows its own bitterness. How does that spirit make you as bitter as it is? If you listen to a Jezebel, that spirit is on its words. It spreads itself through its words. That's why it tries to get the biggest platform that it can. And it tries to go up as high as it can. And it tries to align itself with true prophets so it can pollute the true prophets by speaking and engaging with them. And hello, then all of a sudden, when you're in the middle of a Jezebelian spirit, a Balaam's prophet, there are red flags that start going up all around me. And my atmosphere gets fuzzy. I can't hear the Lord as well. And I'm like, where's my Jezebel? It's not mine, actually. It's like, where's the Jezebel spirit? And I start binding that thing. Where's the Ahab spirit that works with it? Because they always go in pairs. And then there are little Jezebelian eunuchs that it always employs to do its dirty work for it, because it never wants to get itself dirty. It never wants to, it hates being exposed. If you expose a Jezebel, expect a rearing up on you like a dragon. Let's get back into Jonathan. So Jonathan knew that God would protect him, so he wasn't afraid, and Jonathan understood the need for pureness of heart. So if you're not pure in heart, then you're going to have a problem praying in this season. But if you are pure in heart, it doesn't matter if you're one man praying or woman, or if you have 10,000 of you, because one pure-hearted person is all it takes for God to save a nation, Lot. Where Abraham went to him and he said, well, God, would you save a nation for one person? Would you save a nation for 50 people? He whittled it down to 10 and then one. And God said, yeah, I'll save it for one. Would you save America for one person? You bet. You bet. So in this season, God's looking for himself and his people. He's not looking for our flesh. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Because alignment is what God is looking for. Where our hearts reflect God's own spirit of love, which means power is resting on those vessels, which terrifies the devil. And it especially terrifies those stuck in the spirit of religion. That's a big deal. That's a very, very big deal. So the Saul leaders of today are acting like, just like Saul did back in David's day, where they're demanding loyalty towards believers who know something's off in that ministry. I found this interesting today. When God showed me this, I thought, wow. And those religious leaders are the culprit who are holding that people group back because of their refusal to change or be changed. So the entire body underneath them is suffering. They're getting hit with a lot of spiritual warfare. They're getting hit with a lot of witchcraft. What happens at the head trickles down like the oil in the beard of Aaron. And I have to ask you, how selfish is this? Because I'm going to tell you, do it afraid. If you're not sure what you're doing and you don't want to mislead a people group, ask God to order your footsteps. He's telling you an answer. Psalms 37:23. But do it afraid, because God is no respecter of persons, and what he does for one, he does for all. But you'll also start change, and change starts at the head. And it trickles down like the oil on the beard of Aaron to help set the captives free, which is where the body's heading with all these deliverance ministries rising up. But because many of these Saul leaders are so afraid of engaging the enemy, entire people groups are being placed into harm's way because of what they're not being taught in order to know how to fight the devil. This is getting serious. And religion isn't the weapon that will help you win that battle. Only fighting through love and God's spirit will. That's the only way to do it. And a lot of people think they're okay. Well, I'm in love. But none of your prayers are getting answered. You've been stuck in that same paradigm now for years. And these selfish religious actions were depicted in King Saul by not even when he didn't allow his own soldiers to taste the honey that they had found and which these soldiers needed for nourishment so that they could fight. And if you know anything about the word of God, the word states, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalms 34:8. If I abide in him and he abides in me, I can ask what I will and he'll do it. Which means that we're choosing to move out from underneath the tree of good and evil and over into the tree of life, underneath the law of life through Christ Jesus and his grace. We've stopped taking tallies on people's flaws. We're not looking for the wrongs in people because of love covering people. Hello, love covers the flaws of other people. But instead, we're looking at them through the eyes of Jesus. We're looking at them through the tree of life. We only see things through love's eyes, which actually brings unity. Imagine that. Where people dwell together in unity, God is there. So Saul, or the religious leader of his day, made his armies make an oath. He made them promise not to eat the honey, not to operate in the new move, lest they be cursed by the oath he made over them, like a Balaam's prophet, which provoked Jonathan to break that unholy order or that unholy law of his own father. So he went and ate some. I say, good for you, Jonathan. Just chow down. And so, because Jonathan knew that God's spirit was good, He'd seen it on his friend David. And he was getting two different depictions of who he thought God was versus who David was showing him God was. See, love is an action. Faith is an action. So Jonathan knew that David was of a different spirit, as was he, and he decided to trust God. But because Saul wouldn't let his forces eat the honey, the new manna, and the new place where God wanted to take them, his forces became faint. And this is why God wants the body of Christ to enter into this new place. Because he's got a great plan for you. If you'll trust him. He's trying to get you out of an independent spirit, and out of self-preservation, out of this place of providing for yourself off the world system and completely relying upon him. And a lot of you don't do that. You're so used to working at your jobs and providing for yourself. So you've stopped tithing. You've stopped staying connected to the anointing. Let me just tell you something about tithing, by the way. And nobody's after your money, because we know that God provides for us. But I will say this. You don't work for free, right? You don't work for free. Why would you expect any man or woman of God to work for free? That's selfishness, and that's a poverty mentality. And I'll even go so far as to say this, because what you don't understand is that, you know, God's not trying to take anything from you, nor are those leaders, nor any of us. We're actually trying to plug you into the anointing so that God can expand that part of his river in you. Because unless you step into that part of his river of trusting him in your finances, trusting him in these areas that you refuse to relinquish, whether it's a family member or your healing or your provision that you're asking for, whether you need a job or you're asking for a mate, you label it. But you've got to step into relinquishing the thing, but stepping into his standards and connecting to him in a way. Hello, your seed is the one area of your life that he gives you control over, because you don't have to show up for work. You don't have to if you don't want to. That's the one area of your life you have control over. But then you give the whole 100%. He's only asking for 10% of it. 10. So that he can multiply it and expand the river of God within you. So that you become like a Joseph and you start learning to feed like Jesus did the 5,000s. And you become blessed. But we've got so many people operating in an independent spirit. And it's self-preservation and selfishness that they think that they're their own God. And God's like, okay, stay where you are then. I'll just go over to this vessel who is obeying me. But don't you dare get jealous and covetous when I start blessing them. Because I'm giving you this opportunity now to plug in so that the anointing, you can connect to the anointing on these leaders that you're listening to get your river expanded. He's trying to get you out of you and get you over into the tree of life, under the law of life through Christ Jesus. And that doesn't include you holding on to things. The tree of good and evil does. That's where you're trying to be your own God. So, and by the way, when you decide to do that, you're going to get some kickback from the devil. He's not going to like it. So he's going to try to give you backlash to make you back off from giving and make you back off from stepping into these new places of trust in God. Because he doesn't want you to live out kingdom in the earth. So Saul was selfish enough to try to hinder his own forces by denying them the right to have access to the new mantles, or new mantles and manna, which is why his forces became faint. It's why God is saying, if you know you're under a leader that's holding you back, and I've told you to leave, leave. Get out from underneath that thing. So Jonathan knew this, and even commented that the holding back of the honey in the new place with its new manna, fruit, and honey would only hurt these soldiers and warriors. So he disobeyed his own father. And when the body of Christ has the manna, the knowledge, and the honey that they need, they know how to fight effectively. And they know who to fight. And it won't be each other because of the spirit of religion operating on them, which has tried to teach wrongfully that men are your enemy. I'm not your enemy. People operating this new move aren't your enemy. We're trying to help you get somewhere. Man is not your enemy. Those of you stuck in religion are, by serving a false god and a spirit and yourselves. You're committing treason, and your ways aren't God's ways. And it doesn't mean in this season that the Sauls have to have a lot of prayer warriors, by the way. Doesn't mean by having a lot of prayer warriors or people that you think are strong in the spirit are going to get you there. If those warriors aren't operating in the new spirit of God or the new wine, their prayers won't budge anything. So you're going to have to obey the Lord and do this new thing, lest you get left behind because the cloud has moved. But the question is, are you in it? Are you aligned? Are you aligned with love? And are you moving forward with the Lord? Which takes us to John 7:31-53. We're going to go a little bit over today, because it's talking about divine timetables. And Jesus lived on a divine timetable, as so should we. And the world doesn't understand this, and it'll always give you advice contrary to God's will when you're living in a different timing, because that's not where they're moving. They're moving opposite of God, which is why we need to be asking the Lord what he says about a manner, and quit watching CNN and MSNBC. I'm finding that a lot of these people don't even know what the heck's going on. A lot of them, none of them for that matter. It's a distraction. But if you want to know the true news, you need to go to God. Ask him what's going on. He'll tell you exactly what's going on. You just stay aligned with him. Let God be the only one talking to you. But if you're one of those new warriors moving into the new move of God, into these new places, there are going to be few people who can instruct you forward except for God the Father, front runner. So it's because so few people have chosen to come forward. Remember the four people groups. So you're going to feel like a lone ranger walking for a while unless you find your tribe. You've got to find your tribe. So many of the body have gotten, are chosen to purposefully, through their own fears, they're choosing to stay stuck. And they're choosing to stay behind in the old ways because they think it's safe there. And I believe it's why there's so much confusion and a lack of faith in the body, because some said that they were for Jesus when they only wanted to be entertained by the prophets or the miracles that they were seeing in some seasons, where others actually opposed him. They blatantly opposed him. This has happened in Jesus' day. It's happening in our day. There's nothing new under the sun. Jesus said it himself. But if they oppose Jesus, they're going to oppose you. And they opposed him because he broke the laws on the Sabbath or went against their own spirits of religion. And you know, to me, honestly, I think you find out, if you're honest with yourself, you'll find out exactly how much religion you have operating in your vessel by the level of offense that erupts when you listen to a new vessel housing the new move. You'll find out real quick. Because when I was listening to some of the vessels coming forward in past seasons with new information and things, I was like, oh, that can't be God. And then I'd let it up. Robert Henderson was a primary one, by the way. God bless you, Mr. Henderson. So, because I did understand, the Lord quickly corrected me. He took me to one of his conferences, and I didn't understand what he was talking about, but I knew when I sat underneath him, I thought, this is of God. I don't understand this yet. And this is like 12 years ago, but I thought, I don't understand this yet, but I know it's of God. And so I trusted the Lord. I started praying, God, order my footsteps here, order my thinking, order my understanding, because I don't understand what I'm listening to. And it was so high up in the spirit. And then all of a sudden, everything broke open. It broke open in my heart because I trusted God enough to come forward into the new place, which is where he wants to take you. And the Bible says we all die from a lack of understanding or from the need to stay stuck in our own ways or in our own perfectionism and criticalness. And you'll always find a spirit of religion coexisting with the spirit of criticalness, always finding fault with those they're intimidated by. Have you ever thought about that? Things that they don't understand. So they've got to put it down. They've got to put the vessels down. They've got to lie about them and gossip or get involved in all these other demons that operate with that same spirit. But maybe it's you that's lacking the correct information. Maybe it's you. So that you don't, maybe you can hinder yourself from having to eat crow. Maybe you should wait a thing out and let a thing unfold or inquire of the Lord to see what he has to say about it. But that would take a spirit of humility, which doesn't always operate with the spirit of religion, does it? So while others in the body are waiting to see what their leaders will do, and they did it back in Jesus' day, they wanted to see what Jesus, what the leaders wanted to see what Jesus would do. Who represented the new move in that day? there were still others that were just going to be led astray because they had no tools in order to gauge what spirit they were even listening to. So they fell for every unholy spirit speaking, or unholy speaking spirit talking to them. They fell for the Balaams. So I'm going to ask you, do you know how to test the spirit? 1 John 4:3. Because you're going to need to know that tool first and foremost. You're going to have to know these things if you're going to go higher into love. And then you're going to have to prepare yourself for the backlash a little bit as you step into this new place, because there are going to be people that aren't going to want to be your friends. They're going to say, oh, you're one of those. Oh, that's not of God. You're caught up in that. Oh, no, you got to stay back here with us, like all the crabs in the pot, trying to hold the one crab back who was actually the functional one, trying to get out of this dysfunction. Not everybody can go where God wants to take you. And especially if you're getting free, you're getting free from all the dysfunction in your families, in your friendships and relationships. Not everybody's willing to get free like you are. So you've got to be willing to let some people go, let some things go, changing and getting off of the same spiritual pages as the dysfunctional people and into new spiritual atmospheres, new spiritual pages, sitting under healthier leaders, because you draw to yourself people that are like yourself. Have you ever noticed that? I tell my friends that all the time. Instead of letting everybody make you their garbage can. I'm nobody's garbage can, by the way. I'm not your garbage can. Don't bring your crap over here. I don't want to hear your gossip and your slander and your lies about other people. If you can't say something nice, then move on down the road. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't know that heart, and I don't know what makes a heart make bad decisions towards other people. And I don't know the hurt that got them into that position. But until I've walked a mile in a man or woman's shoes, I'm not going to judge them. Nor should you. We're here to cover. Now, do I like it? No, I don't like some of the dysfunction that I incur. I get as frustrated sometimes as you, thinking, God, when are you going to deliver these freaking people? When, God, when? But if I act just like the world or just like they do, what does that serve? What does that serve? And if I don't correct you, by the way, I'm a double-sided sword of truth, and that's what we do on this team. We correct you, actually. We actually correct you like Jesus would. We actually walk out the Bible. Imagine that. We don't brush it under the rug. We don't just leave the elephant standing in the room. We actually, if you have aught with your brother, we make you address each other. Isn't that a novel idea? We actually make you learn to talk things out. We don't let you let the sun go down on your anger. You're going to learn to talk things out, work things out, and actually get along and learn to love each other. And guess what that brings? It brings a really healthy bonding of love, because you respect each other. Sometimes you're not always going to get along with people, and that's okay. But you'll respect each other more for having talked it out than acting like it doesn't exist, which is dysfunctional. It's all get out. So that's what we're teaching you here. That's where God's moving the body right now in this season. He's trying to teach us to be healthy and functional, to operate in a healthy heart. And for those of you who are moving into the new move, God knows you're tired. This is for you. But the Lord is saying, ask me for strength, because I'm fixing to double yours to ensure your success and faithfulness coming forward through me and into the new place. That strength is going to bring you into your new place. And you're fixing to taste and see that I'm good like never before. The Lord says, watch. Watch me do this for you. Watch me, says the Lord. That's a so saith the Lord statement. Which brings us to Psalms 109, 1 through 31. As we wrap this up, or we're wrapping this up today, if you're just catching us on the 15-minute rev, I'm Dr. Missy Hood. Thanks for joining us today. You might need to go catch the replay if you want to hear the whole thing. It's worth the watch. Go catch it. Rewind it. And then share it. And then hit subscribe. But it talks about in Psalms 109, 1 through 31, when people don't understand you, or when people lie about you, speak evil of you, or repay you evil for goodness when you try to bless them. It's a test. That's a heck of a test. And if you've been treated like this, then you're going to benefit from this psalm. It's what David wrote. And God's saying in this season, I know your testings that you've been through because I put them on you. But you need to know that every test has an ending date. It's not going to last forever. When your heart is wounded within, there's no way to set the record straight. You need to take it to the Lord for judgment. You need to let Him start fighting your battles for you, because sometimes it's better to stay silent over a thing, which will drive Jezebel just mad. It'll drive her mad. Or it mad. It's not a pronoun. Because that spirit likes to fight. Demons like to fight. But you're not called to fight your own battles, which is very foreign to a warrior who is used to fighting. But it gets you out of self-preservation, right? You don't have to defend yourself if you're staying in Christ and you're operating in Christ. I don't have to prove what I'm talking to you about is real. If it's truly of God, God will unfold a thing. I don't care what people think. I'm just here to deliver the message. I'm just saying. So no matter how the Lord deals with your enemies, though, you need to keep praising the Lord. Because you also need to know that some battles only are the Lord's. And you need to let Him shake some dead fruit off your tree if He's changing you and moving you into a new spiritual page. Some people can't go with you where you want to go, and they just want to argue with you about it and make you feel guilty through false guilt. They want to put false responsibility on you that you just left me behind. You abandoned me. You bleep, 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 bleep. What they need to say is, I did not obey the Lord. I did not do what He told me to do in past seasons. Hence, I'm behind, and I need to kick it into high gear and get off my duff and start doing what He told me to do by getting into deliverance ministries and getting free. That might be the truthful conversation you can start having with yourself. And while you were at it, it would probably lead you into other areas of freedom that you've been refusing to own in your life. But this is the new place that we're at right now. We're not called to fight our own battles. And Jesus said these things would come. If they did it to Jesus, they'll do it to you. Which brings us, as we wrap this up today, through Proverbs 15, 5 through 7, where the proverb states, "A fool spurns a parent's discipline." I believe we have a good father. He disciplines us. "But whoever heeds correction shows prudence." It means you're listening. "The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fool are not upright." I think that pretty much summarizes this whole conversation today. I think God is trying to say to us, you know, a lot of you say, you know, Dr. Mister, you're saying the same thing over and over. Not really. I think the message is really kind of different every time. But if you notice the same theme kind of going through, where God's trying to change us into love. He's trying to make us more like Him. But I don't see a whole lot of people, and this is the one thing I'll be blunt, I hated about when I came back to church. I hated it because I saw a lot of dysfunction and nobody seemingly addressing it. They're like, no, you don't want to rock the boat. And they abuse the "please forgive me" clause. Oh, no, you just need to forgive me. They won't ask you to forgive them. They'll just say, oh, no, you just need to forgive me. They won't own their stuff. So you have a lot of people running around in churches who are just beating up on each other because they won't get free from the spirit of Jezebel, and no leader will address it or any other dysfunctional thing that they're doing. And that's why we seem to have all these different secret sins rising up right now, because nobody addresses it. They think it's not their business. If you're a good spiritual leader, yes, it is your business. If you're called to shepherd your sheep, do you know God's going to hold you accountable for that? He's holding you accountable for keeping the sheep safe and keeping them aligned with His heart and with His spirit, where He's moving them into. A shepherd leads the sheep with his crook. And sometimes the crook will yank a sheep over sometimes to get him back with the flock. Get your head back in the game. And a good friend, by the way, I don't know about your friends, but my friends, they put God first in everything. They're not just yes men. I don't get to call my friends and say, oh, guess what I'm doing? And they're like, what the blank? They'll do that sometimes. What do you think you're doing? Have you lost your mind? Especially if you're operating in a leadership position. Some of you have lost your minds. You need to lose your minds. You need to get the mind of Christ. But that's the place we're heading into, where God is bringing in these intense personalities like myself. And I'm not the only one, who are really willing and ready. Double sides of truth on our sword, double sides of mercy on others, to prune all the way back to get the body realigned with love. Because God's bringing back, He's readying us for revival. And how are you going to know the way in which you're to walk unless somebody course corrects you? And you can't get offended every time you turn your head around because you haven't gotten free yet. Or have you chosen to stay stuck in a spirit that hinders you from hearing the truth? We do have a choice. So with that, I hope you're encouraged today. I'm going to leave you with that intense little word there. I hope you like my air bubbles behind me. I like my little motion thing going on. Again, if you didn't catch the beginning of the Rev, I wanted to entreat you to go check out my friend Margaret Rose. She's one of our sponsors. Golly, I don't know if you can see that. Yeah, you can now. That's her new book called Margaret Rose Through the Lens. And actually, she and I have written a book together that is going to be coming out here in a couple months. It's called Just a Conversation Away. You'll be able to purchase that. It's talking about deep hurts, deep grief that we sometimes go through. You know, sometimes we just want to have an honest conversation with people when we get wounded. And whether it's the death of a loved one, and this isn't a grief book on death, but it's about hurts that we go through, whether it's in church, within relationships, whatever your reason. But we're giving you two perspectives on it. We're giving you the life experience through Margaret's life. And then my experience as a life coach and also as a counselor, healing gifting, operating there, a deliverance minister, trying to help you see it from different perspectives so that maybe by reading it from two different perspectives, it'll help set you free. So with that, I'm going to leave you with that, guys. I hope you are having a wonderful Friday. I hope you've had a great week. I almost said Monday. You'd slap me if I said that. Don't you dare say that, Dr. Missy. No, I'm just joking. So anyway, have a great weekend. Hopefully I'll catch you again on Monday or Tuesday. Excuse me. The revs are now on Tuesday. Gives you a chance to watch this one on Friday. And hopefully I'll see you then. But until then, you have a blessed day, and I'll look forward until we talk again. Know that I love you, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.